So we're going to just buzz through Proverbs chapter 2. We're working our way through Proverbs. We finished Revelation a couple weeks ago, and so I felt led to move us into Proverbs. So we'll work our way through it pretty quick today. So if you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 2. King Solomon writes of God's wisdom in this chapter in two aspects. He speaks of it as a treasure, and he speaks of it as a protection, so the wisdom of God. Here, let's read the first couple verses. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Notice the word if in there a couple times. So it's kind of on us to seek God in this way. Verse 4 again, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word. May it just come leap off the page, and may you write it on our hearts, because we come today not just to celebrate, but we want you to fashion us into your image, God. So may that be accomplished through the study of your word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Solomon's writing to his son, so that's why he starts there in this. And I think in the same way, God wants us to read this book as the Heavenly Father speaking to his sons and daughters. So this all applies to us. And I like the first few verses because it talks about the strength of someone who really is longing for God's wisdom. And one of the ways for a hunger like this to be produced in our hearts is by living under our own wisdom for a period of time. And it didn't take me long as an adult to realize that my wisdom got me into a whole bunch of trouble. And it left me empty, it left me frustrated, left me disillusioned, and it produced in me a longing for God's wisdom. And then as I began to walk in God's wisdom and the quality of life that God was producing inside of me, whoa, I didn't want to ever go back to my own worldly wisdom. It happens sometimes. But God offers us something really, really cool. So we're told in these verses, the child of God should seek God's wisdom with the same fervency that a miner seeks for gold and silver. Think how exciting it'd be for a miner to come across the vein of gold. That excitement would be off the charts for him. And it would result in him and his guys attacking that vein of gold with tremendous energy, with tremendous passion. Well, that's what God tells us here. Our attitude should be toward his wisdom. And if you notice there, right in the beginning, verse 1, the wisdom of God is referred to as a treasure. The entire Bible is one big treasure chest. But certainly this book is full of treasure. And so what I like to think this is telling us is that the wisdom of God is going to make us richer in life than silver or gold ever possibly could. And we're to pursue it with fervency. That's the thing I'd like you to remember through these first few verses is we're to pursue God's wisdom with fervency. So wisdom's a treasure, but it's also protection. Read verse 6 with me. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come a knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. The Lord doesn't play Marco Polo with us. He isn't holding out. He wants to give us wisdom. And when his wisdom is given to us, those verses tell us it protects us like a shield. Think for a second of how God's wisdom has protected you in your life. The emotional, the mental, the spiritual, the physical damage that we were prone to if we walked in our own wisdom, if we walked in our own ways. Now, most of the time when we think about that kind of thing, we think about being protected physically. But God's wisdom protects our mind. God's wisdom protects our heart. The Lord is a shield, it tells us there, to those who walk uprightly. And that enables us, notice in 8 and 9, that enables us then to understand what's right and what's just and the path that we're to walk. The number one question I get asked as a pastor is, will you pray for me for wisdom? And it's a good prayer. So we're longing for God's wisdom. And he says here, I'll give it to you. I promise to give it to you. And when he does, then we have understanding. Then we understand how we're supposed to move forward. I'm forever grateful to the Lord for that promise, aren't you? Forever grateful. Now the Lord then goes on and gives us examples of what his wisdom protects us from, including being around the wrong kind of people. Now, we oftentimes want to think of everybody on this planet as being nice and kind. Don't be so naive. There are evil people in our world, and we need to be wise so they will not be allowed to influence us negatively. So let's read a couple verses there. It's 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, 14, and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths. So the Lord wants to impart to us wisdom and knowledge, and from that then, wisdom and discretion and understanding preserve us and keep us. And these are wonderful promises, but if you've noticed, and I tried to mention it as we started, the word if there a few times, these things come to us only if we pursue them and then choose to receive them. You know the verse, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. It doesn't say it will if you went to church on Sunday. It didn't say it will if you put money in the tithe box. It doesn't say you will. It's not conditional. You ask, you're God's kid. You're a member of his family, and he says there in James chapter 1, verse 5, you will be given the wisdom that you need. I need to be reminded of that because I look at myself in the mirror and I see the warts. I see the flaws, and I'm not convinced that God really cares about me like that. And so I read this and I think he promises me something. He promises you something. Very, very important to our walk. Now, the word liberally, as I was reading that, it simply means freely, without reservation. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him give of God who gives freely. And then reproach means to express disapproval or disappointment. So the word, the verse there says, God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm not so sure. Have you been behaving lately? That isn't how he does that. And the verse there in James is written in the present, active, imperative tense, meaning keep on asking, keep going. And as we keep on asking for wisdom, then the Lord responds without reproach. It means God never gets annoyed with us when we come to him asking for wisdom. He's never been bothered by that. He doesn't get tired of Reisner, you again? Who do you think you are? You sure are a pain in my backside, and I really am frustrated with how you've been acting lately, and I think I'm going to withhold. He never, ever does that. I think that. But that's why we go back to what the Bible says. And that's why we teach the Bible here, line by line by line by line. We need to know what the Bible says. And he's given each one of us tremendous promises here. I'll give you the wisdom that you need to navigate this life in a way that's pleasing to me. So he never makes us feel like we're idiots because we need more wisdom. He gives it to us liberally, without reproach. Now, my wife is married to a guy who refuses to ask for directions when we're driving. We can be totally lost, not that I would tell her, sitting at a traffic light right next to a gas station, and I will not stop and walk inside and ask. Ladies, are you married to a guy like that? One of the biggest fights we ever had is we were headed out to the outback of New Pal to go to a graduation party. And that was back before cell phone-y things were very strong. And I had copied the map out on MapQuest. Remember those days? Man, she was madder than a hornet because we drove and drove and drove. And I think at one point, I think we might have crossed the Ohio River. I don't know. I'm not sure. And you know, if you know my wife, she's really gentle, kinda, mostly, somewhat, often. I don't know. The more I talk, the deeper the hole I dig. But when she's done with me, and I get the frump. Well, I got the frump for about an hour because we found the party. Everybody had left. All the food was in the fridge because they had packed it all up, but we were there. Proved my point. And we can be that same way with wisdom. We first try to figure it out on our own and lean on our own understanding. And when that doesn't work, and it usually doesn't, then we turn on the TV and watch a couple of episodes of Dr. Phil. Is he still on? I should have meant to look that up. Is he not on? He's retired. Or maybe we even try to call Dave Ramsey because we got financial issues. And when that doesn't work, then we call Aunt Gertrude because Aunt Gertrude, buddy, she knows. I mean, she knows the ways. And then when all that fails, we finally, okay, God. Why is he our last resort? But the Bible tells us to humble ourselves and ask God first. And then we find that God gives us his wisdom generously and without reproach. Aren't you thankful that our God is a giving God? He gives over and over and over and over again. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, wisdom. The list is endless. Let's keep going. 12, I think, is where we are. Nope, I went further than that. Oh, it's 16 is where we are. So that was the first group of people that the Lord's wisdom protect us from, the evil person, the person who doesn't stop and ask for directions, moral men, women. And so here we see another person, and here's where the immoral men, the immoral women, and it speaks to protecting us from sexual immorality. Before I read it, which is word 16, during Jesus' time, sexual immorality was considered the great sin of the Gentiles. Yeah, the Jews fell prey to it too, but they had the law, and they had the prophets, and it helped them stand against sexual immorality. It would be very difficult for us if we didn't have God's word to teach us about sexual things, how God has created it, and how we're to express sexuality in our marriages. When is it healthy? When does it become sin? Where does it become bondage in our lives? So the Gentile world, they didn't have God's word, so they had to figure all that stuff out on their own. And the mantra back then became, if it feels good, do it. Well, that wasn't just something that came about in the 1960s. That's been in the Gentile world for many, many, many generations. So here we see, starting in verse 16, needed instruction related to sexual immorality. Read with me, to deliver you from the immoral woman / man, from the seductress who flatters with her words and who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths lead to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Remember Solomon speaking to his young son, so it makes sense that he'd talk about the immoral woman, and he wanted to wake his son up to the ways of the world. Sexual immorality has been prevalent in our society since the fall of man, and it's largely accepted in our society. Man is a huge sucker for flattery. Oh, you're so strong. Yeah? Well, I have been working out. You're so handsome. You could charm a girl right off her feet. You're so smart. Darn right I'm smart. My wife hadn't told me any of these things for a while. And we think she's saying that because we are strong, because we are handsome, because we are smart. Well, in reality, we're just dealing with a seductress who wants something from us. And this gal knows men very well. She knows how to talk to us. She knows how to twirl her hair. Oh, she knows how to reach out and just touch her arm just gently. She knows how to get a man emotionally long before she gets him physically. She knows how to get what she wants. So the Lord's given us wisdom here related to how to proceed with her. And given the choice between following after God or giving in to sexual immorality, this person chooses sin. Now, did you notice there, hang on, where is it? 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth. It's interesting, the divorce rate among people who lived together before they were married is significantly higher than those who didn't live together. Worldly wisdom would say, well, they've been able to work through some of their problems, so they ought to be getting a head start in this. But here's the issue. Once a sexual relationship is lit up, then physical becomes the focus. And people think, well, we've been living together for a while. We know each other well. But that isn't true. Yeah, they know each other physically, but the development of the relationship emotionally and mentally and spiritually has stagnated. That hasn't been developed at all because their focus is always on the physical. So then they enter into a marriage relationship. And it doesn't take them long to realize we're not connected emotionally. We're not connected mentally. We're not connected spiritually. And it oftentimes comes as a shock to them. We're surprised by that. No doubt, God's way is the best way, to enter into a lasting relationship. A couple is the first to really get to know each other emotionally and spiritually. Then, young people, listen, I know a lot of you are here. Then, after your relationship has developed emotionally, spiritually, mentally, then the physical relationship comes and is a blessing once you're married. That's God's way, and that's the best way, for sure. So he's warning us through these few verses. Now notice as I got to the door to deeper that 18, for her house leads down to the death and her paths lead to the dead. So to be involved with this type of person puts us on a path toward the grave. Remember in ancient times, they didn't have antibiotics. So sexually transmitted disease was a death sentence for them. But the bigger issue isn't physical death. It's spiritual death. Eternity separated from God. I'll just be another minute, so hang in there with me. Statistics show that 6,000 teenagers a day are affected with sexually transmitted diseases in America. That's crazy to me. It states that over 90% of men between the ages of 15 and 39 watch porn. Now, it doesn't state the statistics of men in the church, but it's a huge issue in our society. It's a global infection. And in a sense, it's nothing new. I mean, we read our Bible. We know back in the old times, Canaanites, they had perverse sexual practices. Ezekiel even challenges the priest because there was porn on the temple walls. They were consistently imagining things in the wrong way. And in Ephesus, there were 1,000 temple prostitutes that came down from the temple every night to go into the city. Those Ephesians, they didn't have to have porn. They had live women right in front of them throwing themselves at them. It's not a new problem. But things are different a little bit in our world, a lot of bit in our world, because every one of us has a phone in our pocket. It's like an alcoholic having vodka coming out of his kitchen faucet because we're carrying it around with us all the time. It's a massive problem in our world, and God addresses it here. You need wisdom to walk in this world. You need godly wisdom to walk in this world. Young people, you need godly wisdom to navigate. But it's not just young people. It's all of us wrestle with this. Wisdom and discretion will protect us if we incline our heart to it. It'll keep us from wicked people and immorality. So the last two verses then, I'll be quick. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. God's wisdom steers us away from these kind of people, and over time, righteousness always prevails and unrighteousness is judged. Okay? So next week we'll do chapter 3, so read it a couple of times. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful attitude toward giving to your kids. And we're thankful, Lord, that you never withhold from us. And I think it's one of the lies that we can believe sometimes is that you withhold. Lord, you want to pour out wisdom to us and understanding to us and how to walk in this world. And I pray, Lord, as we read through this, that we would recognize that maybe we're just barely sipping at this well, and you want us to drink deeply. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd have an attitude that just cries out to you, Lord, give us the wisdom that we need for today and for this week. And Lord, we want you to be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.